This is the OTB Television Network, a service of Capital District Off-Track Betting.
Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Good morning. Welcome to Racing Across America on this Sunday morning. I'm Seth Merrow. Thanks for joining us this morning. As usual on a Sunday morning, we will take a look at some of the stakes action from yesterday. We'll do a little handicapping a little bit later on. And towards the end of the program, we'll be joined by Joe Kristofek. You see him doing the pregame show down at Churchill, paddock commentary regularly at Churchill, and we'll have him in today as the Churchill Fall Meet opens up with a nice two-year-old card today, a couple of nice two-year-old stakes races. We'll take a look at those two stakes with Joe as well, but again, we'll preview the kickoff and the Fall Meet down at Churchill Downs towards the end of the program. But here at the top of the program, again, some stakes recaps. And we'll start out, we had Josie Carroll on yesterday on Racing Across America because she had the shot at the Canadian Triple Crown with Mighty Heart. I was rooting, but if you watched OTB Live yesterday, that was right at the end of our show. So as I wrapped up, we kind of led into the Queen's Plate, and I said, I'm rooting for Mighty Heart. It'd be fun to have a Triple Crown, a Canadian Triple Crown, any Triple Crown in this kind of different year. And so Mighty Heart coming out of the win, nice win in the Queen's Plate. Nice win again over at Fort Erie in the Prince of Wales. And what's unique about the Canadian Triple Crown, the Queen's Plate on the synthetic at Woodbine, Fort Erie, the Prince of Wales is on the dirt, and then they come back to Woodbine for the Breeders to complete the Triple Crown, and it's a mile and a half on the turf. So it's three different surfaces and the stretch out to the mile and a half. And we had Josie Carroll on yesterday and said, what's your confidence level? And she said, I'm always cautious. Something new, a mile and a half on the turf, and there's a nice competitive field in here. I also asked her about her other entrant, Belichick, and she had some confidence in that horse. Lightly raced, and Belichick had finished second behind Mighty Heart in the Queen's Plate in only Belichick's third career start. Belichick came into the Breeders yesterday, is still a maiden, however, had run third in the career debut, second in the second career start, both maiden special weight events, and then tried the Queen's Plate and ran the good second behind Mighty Heart that day. So they laid off from then until yesterday with Belichick, and we will see. It is Belichick getting it done. We're going to watch the stretch run here. Mighty Heart is the number eight horse, and you can see the chicklet kind of unfortunately fading. Mighty Heart went to the lead early, and you see here Belichick, the number nine, winning pretty nicely. Nice little late run from the number one, Meyer, to get up for second at 54-1. English Conqueror at 12-1, runs third. Deviant, 41-1, runs fourth. So some prices behind. Belichick was the third choice behind Mighty Heart and Clayton at 3-1. $8.70 was the price. But appreciated the turf and the distance. Josie Carroll had said Belichick in the first couple of starts was a little googly-eyed and trying to figure it all out and all over the place. But she said yesterday, the middle of the day, he was laying in the stall and just relaxing, and he'd kind of lost the nerves, and that seems to have moved him forward talent-wise. With experience, he got better for Josie Carroll. LNJ Foxwoods and Company wins the Breeders' Stakes yesterday nicely, which was, I would have to think, Josie Carroll, it was a disappointment, but if you're going to be disappointed by not getting the Triple Crown, there's a consolation prize in that your other horse wins. You know, she got interviewed after the race, and it seemed like maybe there was some disappointment there, but again, it's also nice to be in the winner's circle regardless. As far as Mighty Heart, boy, he's a better, it's frustrating. It must have been frustrating for the connections as well. Mighty Heart went out to the lead just the way that he did in the Queen's Plate. This is a longer race, though, at a mile and a half. So if you're going to go out and be in front, you want to go out and be in front, hopefully loping along pretty easily. Well, 23 and change, 47 and change. The early fractions were honest, maybe more honest than you would want, you would hope. But what was worse was getting pushed by Kanai, who wound up finishing last, got eased, in fact, and was 100 to 1. Coming out of a 12-5 claimer, and as I say, this, you see these situations as a better where your horse is out there and getting harassed by a hopeless long shot, and you just, you want to pull your hair out. I don't have that much, but I want to pull what's left in those kind of situations because you just feel like, man, you have no shot, but you're going to kill my shot too. And granted, Mighty Heart may not have been built for the mile and a half anyway, but if you're going to be out there on the front end trying the mile and a half, you'd rather have the horse kind of loping along on their own as opposed to being, you know, kept company and pushed by another horse, particularly, as I say, a hopeless 101 shot who winds up finishing last anyway. So it was a tough setup, and Josie Carroll mentioned that after the race, that they got pushed a little bit early, which probably didn't help their chances. So, again, Mighty Heart does not complete the Canadian Triple Crown. It was fun to have the shot yesterday, but it was the other Josie Carroll horse, Belichick, getting it done in the Breeders yesterday at Woodbine. And, again, we thank Josie Carroll for joining us on Racing Across America yesterday. All right, let's go over some of the stakes action on Empire Showcase Day yesterday. That was down at Belmont. And we'll start with the highlight of the afternoon, the Empire Classic. I said during the handicapping show, Handicappers Report yesterday and during OTB Live, I've kind of been married at points to Bank It and divorced and gotten back. And I was on Bank It yesterday. I thought there may be some pace in Bank It. The number five could close into the pace. But Mr. Buff, coming out of a couple of disappointing finishes, but in the Suburban and the Whitney. So stepping back into State Bred Company, number two, Mr. Buff goes out, takes him all the way around. And Bankett is the number five. You can see him coming up the rail here. And, yeah, you know, you may have thought for a couple of strides, yeah, maybe Bankett is going to be interesting. But then you realize Mr. Buff, just the Mr. Buff of old, getting back in against the State Breds. And really, as I say, there was maybe a couple of strides where well, I liked Bankett, so I was kind of rooting for that one. If you were being maybe a little more objective, maybe even those two strides, you weren't thinking Mr. Buff was coming back, because Mr. Buff looked good yesterday for John Kimmel, Chester and Mary Broman, Junior Alvarado on board, gets it done. Bankett second, Seafoam third. Funny Guy, who went off as the 8-5 favorite, wound up fourth in here, but no catching Mr. Buff. Millionaire New York bred gets it done in the Empire Classic yesterday and looked good doing it as well. I didn't call up replays on all of the Empire races, but just to hit on the Iroquois Collegeville at 23-1 came gangbusters late. Prairie Fire, who Brian Addo liked a little bit as a price play on the Handicapper's Report, and I had in my mix thinking could be an interesting horse too. At 12-1, there were a couple of strides late where you thought Prairie Fire is going to get it done at a 12-1 price, but then Collegeville Girl came on the outside and wound up getting the win in the Iroquois at the nice 23-1 price. Did pull up a replay, though, a couple races before the Empire Classic. That was the Mohawk. Wanted to show this one because this, we said it on the Handicapper Support yesterday as Brian Addo and I were looking at the Belmont card. This, you know, the Mohawk New York bred stakes race on Empire Showcase Day, obviously. But boy, this had the look of could have been a nice open stakes race with some of the performers in here. I tilted towards Some Like It Hot Brown, but it was an open and competitive race with lots of very good performers. Some Like It Hot Brown eventually went off as the 6-5 favorite and does get it done on the front end all the way around and looked pretty good doing it. Some Like It Hot Brown's the number 7. As they turn into the stretch, kind of spurts away a little bit. We do get a little bit of a late run from Therapist, the number 5. Cross Border, the horse I had underneath, the number 8, winds up running 3rd. You can see a nice closing kick from Cross Border, but it was too little too late as, again, Some Like It Hot Brown went out. But as we looked at this race yesterday on the Handicappers Report, I thought Rinaldi would go out and take the lead, and then we were talking to Brian Otto, kind of thought Some Like It Hot Brown maybe out there challenging, and I said, you know what, probably you're probably right. Rinaldi may have a little company. Well, it played out kind of in that fashion, the way we talked about it and changed our thought a little bit, because Rinaldi went out and took the lead, and then Some Like It Hot Brown kind of came up and then decided to take the lead. And pretty much it was a front-end win for Some Like It Hot Brown. Rinaldi early was out there, but it was shortly down the backstretch that Some Like It Hot Brown came up and really made most of the pace in there and got it done for Mike Maker and Javier Castellano in the Mohawk yesterday. Nice performance. And it's got to put him over $700,000 in earnings. So, again, another nice little New York bred there. New York bred 4-year-old turfer, Some Like It Hot Brown. All right, let's go a few races earlier. And, again, I didn't call all the replays, but just to alert you of some of the wins on the card that we didn't call the replays. Tribeca picks up the Hudson at 5-1. Captain Bombastic for Jeremiah Engelhart, who we had on the show yesterday. Went in as the favorite. Went off as the favorite. Jeremiah, you know, had mentioned that one stepping in against Older. It was going to be a tough assignment. Had finished behind Yaupon last time in the Chick Lang. And we had Jeremiah on yesterday, and he mentioned he wasn't thrilled kind of with the strategy of the ride in the Chick Lang, so he was hoping for a little bit of a rebound, but said it was going to be tough going against Older. So he winds up 3rd as the favorite yesterday. But Tribeca, with plenty of early speed, used that early speed to his advantage and got it done on the front end in the Hudson. In the Empire Distaff, it was Lucky Move over Mrs. Orb and Making Sense 3rd, Radichkowski. I had that one on top. I was a little iffy on Radichkowski. Came out of a kind of a dud in the Union Avenue, but there was maybe some excuses in there. There were some races underneath that were certainly good enough. Radichkowski took the lead and led and looked pretty good early, and you thought, she's going to be okay in here, but faded late to finish 4th. As again, Lucky Move got it done in there as one of 2 for Marshall Graham and 10 Strike Racing. So it was a nice win there for Lucky Move in the Empire Distaff. Do have a replay coming up on the Ticonderoga. Let me flip my page to the PPs of the Ticonderoga, which was for the fillies and mares going 1/16. On the grass. Wanted to show this one because I used War Canoe, who gets a nice 2nd in here. War Canoe is going to be the number 1. But during the afternoon shows, I looked at this again. I thought, you know what? My Heart Belongs to Daddy just is the lone speed and is likely to get out here. And you see the horse get out a little bit and still overcome that with the speed in the stretch. Well clear of the field, so no problem there. And War Canoe kind of cuts to the rail here and does get up to run 2nd in a decent little effort. But as I said, talking yesterday during OTB Live, I thought, you know what, I may have made a mistake putting War Canoe on top. And I had My Heart Belongs to Daddy down in the 3rd spot. Just had that look of lone speed going the 1.5 turn mile and a 16th at Belmont. And that's the way it played out. My Heart Belongs to Daddy gets out to the lead as the favorite. Takes him all the way around, and as you saw in the stretch, ducked out a little bit, but was well clear of the field, and that did not have any, you know, effect on the finish, the very nice win for My Heart Belongs to Daddy in the Ticonderoga. Wanted to take a look at the two two-year-old races, because these were interesting on the human side of things. The two-year-old boys in the Sleepy Hollow. We are going to look at the stretch run here. It's going to be number 6, Boston Strong, getting it done over number 7, Eagle Orb. Breadman, the horse I like, the number 4, winds up 3rd as the 2-1 favorite. Just fades a little bit there. Breadman, who had won a maiden debut effort on the turf. So it was going to be a question mark with Breadman going over to the dirt. You know, runs an okay 3rd, but it is Brooklyn Strong getting it done. Broke the maiden down at Delaware, going against maiden 40s back in September. Then came to New York and tried the Bond Guard last time and ran 3rd. But gets it done in the 3rd career start yesterday in the Sleepy Hollow, stretching back out to the mile, which was the same distance of the career debut win down at Delaware. So Brooklyn Strong gets it done for trainer Dan Velasquez. And as I say, I wanted to show that race and this next race, the Maid of the Mist, for the two-year-old girls because of the human side. Again, Dan Velasquez training Brooklyn Strong, but also training the winner of the Maid of the Mist, number 6, Layaban on a Prayer. Not only did he train, he owns Layaban on a Prayer. I like Party of Pages, the number 3 horse. Boy, she just didn't kind of show up. She in the hunt early, but then faded late. Wound up to be the second choice. Frostme, close up second choice. They're both 6-5. But Frostme, the number 5, did wind up to be the favorite and run 2nd here for John Kimmel in the 2nd career start. Chasing Kara runs 3rd, but as you saw, Layaban on a Prayer, the number 6, gets it done pretty easily. Chart margin is 5.5. After a couple of starts down at Delaware and had not broken the maiden yet, a 3rd and a 2nd, so breaks the maiden in $150,000 stake. Added blinkers yesterday, maybe that was a bonus. But as I say, did it pretty easily for trainer and owner Danny Velasquez. And it was just, you know, a nice performance for a guy based down at Delaware. And during the afternoon as those races were run, I pulled up the Equibase stats. I think he's sitting about 9th this year on the trainers down at Delaware stats at Equibase. But clearly very excited yesterday. Those were his first, trainer Dan Velasquez, his first 2 career stakes, according to the follow-up article by Mike Welch in the Racing Form. He said, you kind of foresee it and wish it, but you don't know if it's going to happen. But it happened. There was a lot of hard work going into this. As far as Layaban on the Prayer, he said, what a way to break her maiden. We knew coming in that adding the blinkers was key. There was a hot pace up front, and Kendrick rode a perfect race. As far as the other horse, he said we were confident in both horses. We love the distances for them. Jose Ortiz put Brooklyn Strong in a perfect spot, and I knew when I saw him at the 3/8 pole just sitting, we got him. So, again, it had to be very exciting for Danny Velasquez to come to New York. And, again, his first 2 career stakes races, so you don't just get one. You sweep both of the 2-year-old New York bred stakes on New York Showcase Day in New York. So, again, congratulations to Dan Velasquez getting it done yesterday in those 2 two-year-old events. Really impressive performance there. All right, let's take a look at just a few of the stakes yesterday as well at Laurel, because Laurel also one of those state-bred days. Although it was, we talked to Frank Vespi yesterday, and he said it's restricted to Maryland sired runners. So a little bit different, but same basic concept. And the highlight of the I will tip my cap a couple of times here to Frank Vespi, because the highlight of the day was the Maryland Millions Classic. And it looked like Harper's First Ride was going to be the one to beat, unquestionably. And the betting public agreed, making that one the 4-5 favorite. Harper's First Ride coming out of a win in the Pimlico Special, the deputed testimony in the start before that. So a couple of wins, a couple of solid buyers. Harper's First Ride, again, looked like the one to beat, the number 5 horse. But Frank Vespi, when we talked to him yesterday, said, you know what, Monday Morning Quarterback may be interesting, the number 3 horse. Last time, draw a line through that try on the turf, the Murphy, and two starts back, finished second in the Federico Tessio. Pretty good second to Happy Saver, who subsequently went on to win the Jockey Club Gold Cup. So watch out for number three, Monday Morning Quarterback. And it is Monday Morning Quarterback getting it done. 6-1, over 4-5, Harper's First Ride. And then Tattooed ran third in there. So, again, nice little performance from Monday Morning Quarterback, and a nice tout for Frank Vespi as well. So appreciate both. A little bit earlier, and again, I didn't call for replays on all of these. And I'm just kind of going through and seeing if there was any note. Oh, I said I wanted to give a tip of the cap to Frank Vespi a couple of times. The Maryland Midland Sprint, again, I didn't call up the replay of this one, but do want to note Karen's Notion won, and I wanted to bring that up because, A, as we looked at the race, we were talking and saying, you know, the logical seemed logical. One more great time, went off as the 9-5 favorite, unfortunately finished fourth in there. But Frank said, you know what, there's a horse here that's a little bit interesting, maybe a price, Karen's Notion. Karen's Notion gets it done at 16-1. So, again, another nice little tout for Frank. But he noted also that the trainer, Nancy Heil, locally based, and doing the show yesterday, OTB Live, I was kind of watching some of the Winner's Circle celebrations after the stakes races down at Laurel. And Nancy Heil, it was fun to watch her, clearly kind of emotional. She said, and as they interviewed her, they led into it by saying not only the trainer, she was the owner and the breeder of Karen's Notion, the winner of the Maryland Million Sprint yesterday. And she said, I've never had a horse entered in the Maryland Million Sprint card, on the card at all. She's never had over 35 years of Maryland Million Days, never had a horse entered. So she puts Karen's Notion in and gets it done. And you can see she was very excited. I mean, as you would be, owner, trainer, breeder, 16-1. So that was fun to watch in the winner's circle. Again, let's go a few races earlier because there were a couple other ones that I did just want to take a look at in here. And going back to the sixth race at Laurel yesterday, it was the Maryland Millions Turf Sprint. And I wanted to show that one because it was kind of a fun story as well. We talked about it yesterday during OTB Live. But owner Rob Masiello, who we have had on the show up at Saratoga over the past few years, he had Faya in here, who started the career with much promise, a third and then a second, and then they switched the horse to the turf and ripped off two really nice wins. Subsequently, Faya was entered into an online auction. There's a new online auction, Wanamakers, out there. And this was one of their first auctions back in, I want to say, July. Rob Masiello dips in and bought Faya out of that auction. Subsequently goes to Belmont and tries allowance non-winners of one company and wins that very easily. And now comes down to Laurel in yesterday's Maryland Millions Turf. And we'll see Faya here, the number nine horse, over So Street, the number four. God Loves a Sinner, the number five, runs third. But Faya gets it done as the 10 cent to the dollar favorite. Second after that auction for owner Rob Masiello. And it was, you know, it's looking like a nice little auction purchase for Rob. Two for two now and two daylight wins on the turf, sprinting on the turf. So a nice little turf sprinter that he may have picked up there in Faya. Subsequently also in the winner's circle, they talked to the breeder, Ann Merriman. She was there, and it was funny. She said the dam is now a fox hunter. And she said, yeah, maybe I'll have to get that one back to the breeding shed. And I thought, yeah, it's probably a good idea after the first, what, six starts of the career for this one, and the last four nice daylight wins on the turf. All right, and let's take a look at one more from yesterday. I always like to look at the two-year-olds. The two-year-old boys, to me, weren't quite as impressive as the two-year-old girls. And so we'll look at the Maryland Millions Lassie because I thought Miss Nondescript came into it with a nice gutsy win over at Monmouth for Mike Trombetta. But I thought they improved a little bit yesterday to also get up for a kind of a gutsy neck win late at 3-1. Miss Nondescript's the number eight horse. Street Loop was the 6-5 favorite, the number four. Trip to Freedom winds up third in here. But as you can see, coming on the outside, this is a nice late run from Miss Nondescript. Trevor McCarthy on board, and is going to get the chart margin of a neck victory at 3-1. Again, kind of ground that out, and maybe a nice little two-year-old filly to watch going forward. Now 2-2 for Mike Trombetta. Again, the boys' side, and I don't know whether I printed up the chart or not. Yeah, Kenny had a notion. Was the two-year-old male winner down there in the Maryland Millions Nursery. And won by daylight, and may turn out to be a nice one. I just didn't think it was as impressive as Miss Nondescript on the Philly side of things, so that's why I chose to show that replay. All right, that takes you through some of the stakes recaps from yesterday. Again, unfortunately, we did not get the Triple Crown. Would have loved to have seen that up at Woodbine, but it didn't work out. Still, our guest from yesterday, Josie Carroll, got it done with her other one, Belichick, who has a promising future, you would think. And so, again, it was fun stakes day yesterday. Laurel, Belmont, up at Woodbine. And there were some of the recaps for you. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we will take a little handicapping look at some of the action this afternoon. A little bit later on, Joe Christofek from Churchill Downs will join us as Churchill will open up their fall meet today. They also have two nice two-year-old stakes races. So that's all coming up right after this. Stay tuned.
Where's the best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you where's the best sports bar in the Capital Region, tell them Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
What if there was a way to become a better horse player? To have a better knowledge of the game? To be more successful? What if there were a way to take what you've learned, what you know, and make better decisions, better choices? In horse racing, knowledge is a powerful tool. Race results and replays, past performances and live streaming, wagering from all your digital devices. Capital OTB. Become a better horse player.
Stone is an outside threat. They're coming down to the finish. Can Smarty Jones hold on? Here comes Birdstone. Birdstone surges past. Birdstone wins the Belmont Stakes.
In front, but here comes High Chaparral. High Chaparral, the defending champ, to take it to Bob Brown. These two arch rivals head to head with Joe Hart bearing down on them. It's going to be a three-horse photo finish in the turn. Here's the wire. Photo finish.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on this Sunday morning. As we do on Sunday mornings, do a little handicapping. I thought maybe take a look at the early pick four at Belmont this afternoon, which kicks off with a kind of a fun little two-year-old filly race, 6 furlongs on the grass. I have a 2-4, 7-9 in that second race at Belmont. But I will say there's a horse I left out of my mix that if the morning line holds up or floats up, even could come down a couple of points, I'll play around with Honey Pants a little bit. Again, the three that I left out of my mix, but I had a sibling called King Henny that second, and then a couple of firsts. It's by Cairo Prince. Didn't show much in the debut for Christophe Clement, but second start, you know, got some education under the belt. They go over to the turf. Honey Pants, again, maybe. What would be great is if one of the horses I like scratches and I can just legitimately pull Honey Pants into my mix. But I put number two on top. So Enchanting goes out for Chad Brown, Peter Brandt and company. Paid $275,000 for this horse. And the debut was okay. Took the lead late and then got caught. Well clear of the third place finisher. Beaten favorite that day. Should benefit from the career debut. Coworth Park goes out first time for Todd Pletcher. There was a sibling called Cutting Humor. Second, then third, then won the third career start. So I thought a little win early there. Lee isn't necessarily a super win early sire, but can produce debut winners. Amalfi Princess in the third spot, debuted down at Kentucky Downs for Mike Maker. Made an okay third. And then he got ambitious and tried a stakes race. at Belmont just, what, a couple of weeks ago. Ran an okay fourth. Gets back into the proper maiden special company for Mike Maker and Jose Ortiz. So I'll put that one in as well. Magical Charm at a big 30-1 price. Nice little workout coming into this. And I thought, you know what, there's a little bit of breeding there. Did get some education. They take the blinkers off for Jimmy Toner. I thought Magical Charm had the potential to make a little noise in here at a price as well. And as they say, Honey Pants, interesting. So I have a 2, 4, 7, and 9, and the 3 is a player as well for me in that second at Belmont. Third race at Belmont today, $35,000 conditional claimers going 3/4 of a mile. I have it 6, 4, 3, and 5. Wickster's Dream on top. First time gelding, Bullet Workout, Luis Saez on board, things to like there. The race 2 back, the number fired, is solid with this bunch. It was a nice win, got claimed out of that race, subsequently came back and disappointed a little bit going backwards in open claim and claiming company. It was a non-winners of 2 starts back. So now back in for a conditional tag today, and again, with a couple other factors that say Wickster's Dream could be a player in here on the top end. Kavara Dosi in the second spot for me. I thought the Chris Englehart runner was just kind of running consistently at this level and in a fashion that I think matches up nicely with this particular group. Third spot, Fed Funds, drops out of allowance company for Horacio De Paz, and the class move may be the tonic this one needs. A couple of wins in the second and third starts of the career showed a little bit of promise. Broke the maiden for a 30 tag, then went in for a starter 50 in the second start. And again, won both of those. Tried allowance company subsequently, but given what we saw in the maiden breaker for the 30 tag, this 35 non-winners of 2 may be more the comfort zone for Fed Funds. So again, in the third at Belmont, 6, 4, 3, and 5. Race number 4 at Belmont, and again, should things change up weather-wise, and I haven't seen scratches or changes yet, but if it works out that way, do have dirt picks over on the one sheet on the website, handicapper support link. But Belmont's 4th, non-winners of 1 other than 3, 7, 1, and 6. I have a soldier on top for Belmont. Last 3 starts was in this similar kind of company. Second, third, third, all close-up finishes. Just points to this horse maybe being primed to break through with this bunch this afternoon. Capital Structure, it's Chad Brown, it's Klarovich. Always have to pay attention to their runners. This one, as is kind of the norm for these, well met, obviously, in the first start with a nice win. Got away at 6-1 that day. May have been well met. Was not necessarily well met with the betters, but well met coming out of the gate for the team. Broke the maiden over at Monmouth middle of July. Came back towards the end of September in optional claimer, non-winners of 1, and as the favorite. Ran an okay third, but I think with that one under the belt, with the 2 under the belt now, this horse is going to fit nicely with this group. And then Windfall Profit for Shug McGahee. Broke the maiden 2 back, got a little education at this level last time with a near-miss 4th place finish and should be a player as well. And the 4th at Belmont, 3, 7, 1, and 6. And finally, closing out that early pick 4 today, race number 5, 2-year-old fillies going 6 on the grass. I have a 2, 3, 4, and 9. Milestone Payment, it's Chad Brown, it's Klarovich. Again, always have to watch them first time out of the box. A little bit of breeding here, steady string of workouts at Monmouth. Nothing is necessarily jumping off the page, but I thought, just the team, a little breeding and whatnot, enough to go towards Milestone Payment in the debut. Evie Jets in the second spot. Second time starter from Tony Dutrow off a pretty good debut, and with Twirling Candy on top, can maybe live up to that win early breeding. I think with the close-up second, already has, but maybe an improved performance today as far as the finishing position. Third spot, another firster. By Spitestown from Graham Motion actually could be interesting with Jose Ortiz on board. I will say third draft at 10-1 for Shug. There was a sibling called Bold Script that won its career debut. So the number 9 as a firster, I think, is a little bit live and worth a look as well. The 5th at Belmont, 2, 3, 4, 9. All right, that'll take us to
our next break. When we come back, we will be joined by Joe Kristofek from Churchill Downs. It's opening day of the fall meet. A couple of nice two-year-old stakes as well. So stay tuned. Be back with more right after this.
No matter where in the world you are, the excitement of wagering on horse racing is just a click away. You'll get live streaming, past performances, race replays, our virtual tote board, analysis and selections from professional handicappers, a simple, safe, and secure wagering platform, and best of all, you get track prices. CapitalOTBBet.com. Bet any place, anytime at CapitalOTBBet.com. And be sure to download our new mobile app from the iTunes Store or Google Play.
Tis the law, and the New York Red is going to win New York's Belmont Stakes.
Authentic has won the Kentucky Derby.
And it's maximum security off the turn in front.
It's improbable in front, inside the eight pole.
You're unbelievable. You're so unbelievable.
In a recent study of some of the top online wagering sites, Capital OTB won big in total player rewards, far surpassing some of the best-known wagering sites in America. While other rewards programs simply offer you points redeemable for gift cards, Capital OTB's rebates are paid to you in actual cash. Plus, Capital OTB gives you full and immediate access to your money. So if all you're getting now are points and gift cards, join Capital OTB Player Rewards today and get cash back. Visit CapitalOTBBet.com and sign up today.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on this Sunday morning. As promised before the break, joined now by our friend Joe Kristofek from Churchill Downs. Joe, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Happy opening day at Churchill. kind of a weird scenario here with running this week and then giving way to Breeders' Cup at Keeneland, and then we'll be back in action for the rest of November.
So you guys take the Breeders' Cup days off.
Yeah, I mean, we do not race live here on that Friday or Saturday, but we race Wednesday and Thursday. They take over for Breeders' Cup, Keeneland does, and then we'll be back actually here on Sunday.
All right, very good. And they just wrapped up the Keeneland meet yesterday, and now it moves over to Churchill. Nice two-year-old card, and we'll hit on that in a moment. But before we do that, set us up a little bit. You and I were talking before we went on the air. Fans will be allowed. That's going to be a little bit different, so update us there, and update us also weather for opening day.
Yeah, so right with limitations and obviously facing the safety protocols that are in place and adhering to those as well, we'll have fans back here at Churchill Downs. Capacity in November is normally, you know, the normal crowd average is about 4,000. So with how humongous this place is and everybody being spread out and the protocols that are in place, you know, everybody should be in a good, safe situation and able to enjoy the races, which we're really happy about here. Unfortunately, Keeneland, I think yesterday was the first cold day of the meet. They handed that weather off to us today, but we are fast and we are good on the turf course to start. 11 races, a temperature probably in the lower 50s. The horses enjoy this weather better, more than we do, Seth, but all things being equal, just a fantastic start of tomorrow card.
Yeah, nice. Looking forward to it. As I say, Keeneland wrapped up yesterday. What are you expecting on the human side of things? Obviously, Brad Cox, Mike Maker, Steve Asmussen did very well over at Keeneland. Brad Cox coming out on top. Tyler Gaffalione easily on the jockey side of things. What are you looking for the human side of things during the fall meet at Churchill?
Yeah, it's interesting because Corey Lannery dominated the jockey standings here for so many years, and Tyler kind of made his presence felt in the November meet a couple years ago, and it was actually Corey who dominated the November meet last year. But Tyler, you know, won the spring meet and won the September meet, and he's just been on a continuous roll. Would expect much of the same there. And then, like you mentioned, you know, these trainers don't seem to go into any cold spells. Steve, Brad and Mike all just, you know, really having fantastic years. And with the plethora of two-year-old races here in November, I would expect Steve to keep rolling. So I think you're going to see a lot of the familiar faces doing well. But at the same time, you know, with five-day racing weeks and full fields and lots of two-year-olds, you should see some surprises along the way, too.
Yeah, looking forward to it. I love the two-year-old racing, and I always say the fall. Even the earlier meet, the two-year-old races and the two-year-old stakes, I think you have to pay attention to those two-year-olds coming out of Churchill as the calendar turns and they become three-year-olds. We have a couple of nice two-year-old stakes today. Why don't we get some ideas on those? We'll start things out with the male side of things in the street sense, mile and a 16th, field of seven scheduled. Well, I say field of seven scheduled, but Eucharist ran yesterday, so expect that one probably out. But I pulled up the replay from the Breeders' Futurity at Keeneland. We're going to watch number four, Essential Quality Win. Number five runs second, but number one, Superstock, runs third. And off of that third, I think Superstock is interesting this afternoon, particularly because I think, as we watch here, the winner, Essential Quality, I think is going to be a nice little two-year-old to keep our eyes on. So the third to that one is, I think, potentially one that you can hang your hat on a little bit in here. Superstock maybe has an edge on this bunch of still kind of unprovens. What were your thoughts in the street sense?
Yeah, you know, your first inclination is always to try to beat the favorite, but this horse has the talent, has the experience around the turns, has the connections. You mentioned, you know, graded stakes placings in both the Iroquois here at Churchill and then proven around two turns in the Breeders' Futurity. So I've got a pocket trip, four wide on the turn, made a threatening bid, and then kind of evened out. But you mentioned Essential Quality is probably going to be one of the favorites in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. And not only does Superstock have all that going for him, he's got a cozy outside post. And, you know, King Fury might be the second choice, and he just beat him handily in the Breeders' Futurity. And Arabian Prince looked good winning first time out over a one-turn mile, but that was an off-the-turf race. So I think those are his two biggest threats, and they're going to have to take two major steps forward in order to get up to the level of Superstock.
Yeah, Arabian Prince for Dallas Stewart and our friends at West Point. That was a nice-looking win. You would think these guys will have to step it up, though. But being lightly raced, that's always very possible. And as I say, I love the two-year-old races, and I love a day like this down at Churchill. It kind of concentrates on the two-year-olds. Let's turn the page now and look at the two-year-old fillies in the rags to riches. Again, 8.5 furlongs the trip in here. I pulled up the replay from Indiana Grand going back to September 15th. It's going to be number 8, Coach, getting it done for the second win in the second start. Both were over at Indiana Grand, though, and both were sprints. This one was 5.5. The maiden breaker was 6. So that's going to be the question mark, the distance and maybe the class of the runners she will face here at Churchill. But it's Brad Cox. I'm going to put my trust in this whole situation, and I'm going to tilt towards Coach. But what did you see in the Rags to Riches?
Yeah, I could see Coach winning. This race is a lot more wide open than the street sense. I think there are, I think there's a few different ways you can go. And a couple things about Coach that, to poke a couple holes. Brad's not afraid to run a good horse at Indiana, not afraid to go to run a good horse at Ellis. But this horse has sprinted twice, and Brad's also not afraid to throw a horse that he thinks has quality, potentially around two turns and longer races a lot quicker. And this one has sprinted twice. He, in some interviews, if you read between the lines and the tea leaves, he, is hoping that this horse gets two turns, but he's not coming out there saying, yeah, the way this horse trains, I know he's going to get two turns, which makes me a little bit skeptical. Midnight Ballerina, for all of you who like her, I hate to break the news to you, you're not going to get anywhere near the 8-1 morning line. This horse won on debut. I mean, seriously, you know this, Seth. Bill Mott doesn't usually have him cranked up at first asking when he wins with a first-time starter. This horse usually has quality. And not only did he win with this first-time starter, but was bet down in a field of 11. The 5-2 won a lot easier, if you look at that replay, than it looks on paper. Certainly bred to stretch out and, has to overcome that outside post. But I think she's the horse to beat. Again, if you get 3-1, 7-2, I think that would be a big price. 8-1, you got no shot.
Yeah, and as you're talking about it, now I'm going to be interested to see what this horse does go off at. Because as you say, Mott is not. I will say, though, towards the end of the Saratoga meet, he had some firsters, and he got on a little bit of a roll, which makes this middle of September horse part of that with some first-time starters. But it's also notable, again, that the horse took the action
that she did, going off as the favorite in that race. So I will be interested to see where Midnight Ballerina goes as far as the odds in the race this afternoon. So a couple of nice stakes. I have to ask, did you have anything clever on the rest of the card? Because it's a two-year-old day, so it seems like the potential is there to maybe have an interesting opinion or two. But did you have anything clever to toss out on the other races on the card?
Yeah, so staying out late for Steve, nothing really clever here, but I could not have been more impressed with the way this horse won on debut, just, you know, relaxed nicely, was straight as a string in the stretch. Look at the horse that has some potential moving forward. You got Superman Jack and an Ultimate Badger in there, which should take some money and make this horse maybe a playable 9-5, you know, hoping for 2-1 on staying out late. I like a horse by the name of Trump Call, believe it or not, in race number 11. Thought the debut was deceivingly good, broke slowly, very wide on the turn. Still ran well, although Steve's got potential bear in that one in Big Lake. That's race number 11. The 11 and the 3 I like in that race. And then Super Quick in race number 6, I think he'll take a significant step forward. That race that these horses exit, that was won by Swill. I think that's going to be a really key race moving forward. We had a brilliant horse running that race. It's actually running in the opening race today. That's getting some class relief that we expect to run better. But I think Swill, the race won by Swill is going to be a very key race. And Brad Cox has been talking about this one as a potential road to the Kentucky Derby horse. So watch out for horses coming out of the race won by Swill, and there's several of those today.
All right. What was the name of that last horse?
The last horse in race 6 is number 9, Super Quick.
Super Quick. I'm just making a note here because during the afternoon show, I will reiterate that they were Joe Christofek thoughts. We'll probably be showing you on the paddock commentary anyway. But I'll go back to Trump Card. I have that one in the mix, 10-1 on the morning line for Larry Jones. And I'll ask you, the Nyquist runners have been impressing me. I think Nyquist is one of those sires that you have to start watching now with debut or second or third time start runners.
Yeah, it's so interesting with these first crop stallions because, you know, they start running 5 furlongs, 6 furlongs, and they start to stretch out. And we know Nyquist obviously was brilliant around 2 turns and, you know, early in his career as a sprinter. And, you know, he's shown the ability to get a good horse in these one-turn races, and you would think that they could stretch out. So I agree with you. A ton of potential with Nyquist, and, you know, we'll have to see moving forward. I remember when Curlin's first crop came out, people are like, oh, Curlin, he's been a dud with these two-year-olds, and look what he's turned out to be. So, you know, the jury's still out. People get excited about stallions too quickly. They also give up on them too quickly. So I think you hit the bullseye with this one, though. I'm looking forward to seeing Nyquist and what his babies do moving forward.
Yeah, I think they've been fun to watch so far, and I've offered a little bit of value here and there. You mentioned your brilliant racing runner in the first race, Man on the Moon. And I was going to ask you, as we always do before we wrap up, just give us a little update on the brilliant racing horses for folks who aren't familiar. That's your partnership. We saw, we mentioned yesterday, Eskin Forrett over at Keeneland. And I know you have some local folks involved in some of the brilliant racing horses. Just give us an update on the brilliant racing runners.
Yeah, well, we won 3 out of 4 races with a second over the summer. We've been licking our wounds. Last couple starts, yes, she ran into a situation where she got, you know, we didn't know she was sick going into the race, but she ran a really bad race last time, and we knew there was a reason why, and we found out what the reason was, and we're going to get her back to where she was prior to the last race at Keeneland. We still got a lot of high hopes for her. And then Kenny just threw in a freaking clunker yesterday. Not happy with the horse. He's not getting peppermints until he runs a better race. We were very disappointed in the effort. I think he's starting to get a little bit too smart for us and realizes that he's going to get pampered either way, but you know, he's supposed to go out there and do his job, and he didn't do it yesterday when we thought we were going to run well. So we'll regroup, and you know, he'll be back. You know, legs are good, most importantly, and he'll be back in the right spot next time, and we'll take it from there.
Yeah, very good. And I'm just looking at the website right now, brilliant horseracing.com. Folks can visit that and find more information if they're interested. Joe, as always, we appreciate the visit, the thoughts. We'll be tuned in for pregame and
pre-race commentary from the paddock today and throughout the Churchill meet, and we will certainly talk again.
Yeah, right. 5 days a week for November with the Breeders' Cup, obviously an eruption. We wish everybody the best of luck in the Breeders' Cup. Join us as often as you can. We've got some great racing this November, and the end of the meet, we'll have another one of these stars of tomorrow's card set, and the Clark Handicap at the end of the meet too. Lots of good stuff moving forward.
Yeah, looking forward to all of it. That fall meet at Churchill, always a lot of fun on the two-year-old side, but as you say, the Clark is always one of the highlights in the older division as well. Joe, appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
All right, cheers. Have a good one. Thanks.
Joe Kristovec from Churchill Downs. We'll take our last break of the hour. We'll come back and wrap it up for Sunday morning. Stay tuned.
Don't miss your chance to be part of the big ticket with this year's Capital OTB Breeders' Cup Syndicate. In the past, Capital OTB Syndicate players have walked away with some big payouts. And this year's $5,000 late pick 5 ticket could be the biggest ever. In the 2008 Breeders' Cup, Capital OTB Steve Crist hit the pick 6 for $66,000. And this year could be a repeat. If you want to be part of the 40-person syndicate team and share in the winnings, simply sign up at CapitalOTB.com by Wednesday, November 4th. So sign up today for the 2020 Capital OTB Breeders' Cup Syndicate and win more.
Welcome to Albany County, an incredible destination to live, work, and play. With easy connections to more than a dozen cities from our vibrant modern airport, it's a short trip downtown to a hive of culture and amusement. From world-class shows at the newly renovated Times Union Center to reliving the past at the New York State Museum. From outdoor recreation to shopping to nightlife, Albany County has something for everyone. We'll see you soon.
Don't miss your chance to be part of the big ticket with this year's Capital OTB Breeders' Cup Syndicate. In the past, Capital OTB Syndicate players have walked away with some big payouts. And this year's $5,000 late pick 5 ticket could be the biggest ever. In the 2008 Breeders' Cup, Capital OTB Steve Crist hit the pick 6 for $66,000. And this year could be a repeat. If you want to be part of the 40-person syndicate team and share in the winnings, simply sign up at CapitalOTB.com by Wednesday, November 4th. So sign up today for the 2020 Capital OTB Breeders' Cup Syndicate and win more.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on a Sunday morning. And as you can see, I am joined now by our friend Mike Callahan from the marketing department. And we're going to talk a little Breeders' Cup promotions coming up over the next couple of weeks because we have a lot of great things to talk about and promo. But before we do that, I will tip my cap to you. Yesterday, I was out in the front side and we were talking the Canadian Triple Crown and Josie Carroll and Mighty Heart. And Mike said, you know, I really like our other horse, Belichick. And I think I may jump on that horse. And subsequently, Mike puts a clever pick 4 ticket together.
singling Belichick and going all in the last race, where the 22-1 shot would have been a great result for you, but you still wound up with a nice, clever $500
ticket. Because a couple of friends got in on the ticket, so personally it was fun. You know, we ended up winning a couple $100, paid $550. But the fun part was on the public handicapper side, because, you know, for working here at the clubhouse for the last 8 years, you kind of get to know a lot of people and they ask you your opinion. I was like, man, I really like Belichick. So I showed them the ticket that I had put together, and a couple of them actually put the same ticket in. So we're alive, they're alive. One of our patrons ended up wheeling the exacta with Belichick. The horse underneath was 60-1. So it was like a $238 exacta. So it was, overall, it was just a fun experience. And to have the all button, and not the all button with like six horses. It was the all button with 13 horses in the last with a variety of payouts. Like you said, it would have been nice to have the four win. Oh. But in the end, at least the favorite didn't win, right? When you have the all button, everybody always says that, you know, the favorite's always going to win when you have the all button. At least we didn't get the favorite.
No,
so.
Still 20. Yeah. At the 20-cent increment, you got $500 back on the ticket, made a nice profit. As I say, it was a clever ticket and a strong opinion on Belichick, which did not give you a moment to worry about.
No, I felt
great,
pretty good.
Yeah, they came into the
But you had mentioned it when we were talking and you were doing your segments off air. You came out and you were like, you know, the horse, that 99-1 shot sort of pushed Mighty Heart pretty good. And once I saw Mighty Heart kind of get softened up.
And he may, the mile and a half may have been tough anyway.
Yeah,
I said earlier,
yeah.
But it doesn't help when a no hope finishing, I think he may have been a did not finish that 100-1 shot. You know, when a horse like that is pushing, that doesn't help your
matters. No, absolutely. I think Belichick's going to be a pretty good horse.
Oh, absolutely.
And distance is no problem at all. And that's kind of what, if you looked into his pedigree and going forward, if you follow Woodbine, which is just a great product. I mean, look at it, 20-cent. Base pick four, you pick up 550, and you could spread everywhere. And, you know, if you're able to single the right horse, that's how, at least yesterday it went. And not every day, but yesterday that's how it went. So,
again,
thank you. Appreciate it.
Golf club.
Hopefully good momentum going into the Breeders' Cup, because we're going to have a seminar, which we'll talk about in a second. So.
All right, let's hit it. Let's hit on some of the promos that are coming up leading into the Breeders' Cup less than a couple of weeks away now.
Yeah, so first and foremost, reserving your seat here at the Clubhouse Racebook. As of yesterday, we were almost sold out as far as at least. There's no cost to it this year. Normally there is, but with the COVID situation going on, there is no cost. But as of yesterday, we still had 12 seats available as far as carols go. So if you still do want to reserve a spot here at the Clubhouse Racebook for Breeders' Cup, you can call 518-446-4010. And again, we still have some limited seating available.
When I talk about coming down here for NFL Sunday or some of the other promotions, it's worth alerting people who maybe are concerned or don't know. We're under the same rules as everybody else. When you come in, you wear your mask, and it's every third carol and every third self-serve machine. And the
right, so we're not at full capacity, and that's why it's
but also for people who may be
point.
Concerned, just to know you're coming in. We're,
yeah, there are signs where you have to walk and procedures, and there's dots everywhere, and everybody has to be 6 feet apart. And even when you're not wagering, you have to be 6 feet away from the person who is wagering.
Same rules as everybody else.
Yeah. You know, but we do have Legends Field inside, so the restaurant, you're able to, when you're able to sit down, you're able to take off your mask, eat, and then when you start to walk around, you have to put it back up. So like you said, sort of the same restaurant, you know, in-house type deal situation. So definitely, if you are interested in coming out of the clubhouse for Breeders' Cup, again, 518-446-4010. Also, the Thursday to kind of kick off Breeders' Cup week, we're going to have the Breeders' Cup seminar. It's going to be different than it normally is. Normally, we have it out in the open of the clubhouse racebook. This year, it's going to be myself, you and Brian Etta, and we're going to do it Thursday at 7 o'clock, but it's going to be different because we're in studio and there's live racing going on. It's actually only going to be live on social media. So if you're avid to YouTube or Facebook, we're going to have it on there. And that's where it's going to be live, but it's also going to be re-aired on the station Friday and Saturday. So if you can't catch it Thursday night, you can certainly catch it on the OTB network Friday and Saturday. So take advantage of that. Breeders' Cup Day 1, which is Friday, is going to kick off with the bounty bet. Currently, the bounty bet's at $9.75. If it doesn't get hit next Friday, that whole pool will then carry over into the Breeders' Cup. So it could be alive for, you know, a $1,200 pool. So it's going to be in the late pick five, obviously, at Keeneland for Breeders' Cup. Then Saturday, and this is the reason I really wanted to come on, is probably the highlight of our promotions for the Breeders' Cup, the Breeders' Cup Syndicate Special. And you're going to see that right there with the slate. Normally, the syndicate specials have been $25. We've been running them every Saturday. This one, we wanted to up the ante. We wanted to make a huge ticket, see if you can make a really big score for the Breeders' Cup. And those entries are going to open up this Wednesday, October 28th. So we'll send out a push notification to everybody. So look for that. But Wednesday is going to be when the signups start. It's going to be the first 40 patrons to sign up. So you definitely want to be aware of that, because the syndicate's been filling up fast. And even though the entry's gone up, I still have a feeling it's going to fill up in a couple days. So how it's going to work, the first 40 patrons will obviously put in the $100 entry fee. That'll come to $4,000. And then OTB is going to add in another 1,000. So that's going to be a $5,000 ticket. And just to kind of break it down, it's going to be a $2 late pick five wager at Keeneland. And the sequence is going to be five selections by five selections by four selections by five, and it will equal one ticket for $5,000. So to have a $2 late pick five, and we know how the Breeders' Cup can be, you know, for 50 cents, sometimes it can pay $8,000, and you know, there's the possibility that it could be times four and you could pick up $32,000. So we're shooting for the stars. We're knocking on wood, hoping we can have a big score. But again, just want to mention that the entries are going to open up for that this Wednesday, October 28th. And then they'll be all the way to Wednesday, November 4th. But I have a feeling that it'll fill up faster than that. And then also on Saturday at the Clubhouse Racebook, we're going to have our glass giveaway that we normally have. It's going to be for the first 150 patrons to walk through the door and pay admission. And also on top of that, you're going to get a $2 quick pick on the Breeders' Cup Classic. So you get a glass, you get a $2 quick pick on the Breeders' Cup Classic. For the first 150 paid admission at the Clubhouse Racebook. Then we're also going to have the match bet, which is a normal losing ticket drawing that we have here. But we're going to up it from 25 to 50. So you have a chance to get a redemption bet up to $50. And then last but not least, we'll also have an online contest on that Saturday. So there is a lot going on here. Excited. You know, we're less than 2 weeks away from the Breeders' Cup now. You know, the seminar, the syndicate special, which I just talked about, the bounty bet, which is going to have a big chunk of money in it. The glass giveaways, the match bet, you know, the online contest, a lot to look forward to. So.
Yeah, less than 2 weeks away from the Breeders' Cup. A couple of days ago, Friday morning, Tisdale August had a nice workout over at Keeneland.
I'm high on him. Yeah. I really, you know, I know he's a three-year-old face and olders. You know, there's always that sort of discussion. You know, we'll dive more into it when we talk about it in the seminar. But yeah, I'll tell you what, he can run with those horses. I know Improbable is the leader in the clubhouse right now as far as rankings goes. And I have a feeling probably Maximum Security will put in a nice rebound effort, but I think he's got a shot.
Supposed to have his last workout next week, but Barkley Tag quoted by Martin McGee in the Daily Racing Forum. I wanted to get him used to the track. If he shows improvement next week, even better. So that confidence. Happy Saver has been declared out of the Breeders' Cup. They will either give him some time off or...
Yeah, we saw him a couple weeks ago against Tacitus, right? Happy Saver against...
Yeah, won the Jockey Club Gold Cup. So he'll either get some time off or head to the Pegasus January 23rd down at Gulfstream. And if he does that, he may have a prep in the middle of December down at Gulfstream. I was interested to see what they would decide to do with Happy Saver, because I thought if he went to the Breeders' Cup, I think he could have been looking at a three-year-old Eclipse. I mean, if you win the Jockey Club Gold Cup and the Breeders' Cup, and beat the two other three-year-old contenders, Authentic and Tis the Law, wouldn't he come into the conversation pretty firmly? So I was kind of interested to see what they would decide to do, but they've elected.
And for a lot of people, it would be a horse sort of coming out of left field, right, to kind of swipe it and take it at that point. But again, like you said, the scenario has sort of changed. But
and Monomoy Girl worked out the other day with Owendale, and I guess looked better than Owendale. I kind of like that for Monomoy Girl.
Yeah. You know, some of these filly mare races are going to be quite interesting, because there are some deep competitive fields. And again, just looking forward to it. You know, the Breeders' Cup's always exciting because you have such quality at big prices. And that's what, you know, kind of gets people involved, and us being horse racing enthusiasts. You know, horses at 10 to 1, 12 to 1. I remember a couple of years ago, I liked a horse named Talismanic. You know, you end up paying $30, and here's my play of the day. You don't get those very often, because you know, most of the time they're running in a different race at 3 to 5, and now they're going to be.
That's always been the nice thing about the Breeders' Cup. There's such high quality that you know, even the 30 to 1 shot has things underneath that you can maybe coming out of close up second place finish.
And people have asked me some questions before. You know, what's the difference between, you know, some normal stakes races comparative to that? from the seminar aspect, there are some horses like in the Kentucky Derby, right? That just, they don't really have a shot. You don't have to look at them too hard. But when we do the Breeders' Cup seminar, we've looked at literally every horse because if they're in there, they have quality. Yeah. So it's not sort of, you know, shooting for the star type deal. It's, you know, these horses are really, really competitive. So
looking forward to it. Again, it's a little bit of a different year, but one of the things that's the same, Breeders' Cup is always a lot of
fun. And last but not least, different post time. So last year was on the West Coast, East Coast this year. On Saturday, the clubhouse race was going to open up at 9:30. And first post is 10:15 a.m. So definitely want to note that for that Saturday. And then the first Breeders' Cup race is going to be noon. So again, early post or early Breeders' Cup race is going on. And the restaurant, Legends Field Inside, which I mentioned, is also going to offer a breakfast menu on that Saturday as well.
Very good. Yep. So again, we will keep you informed as we go along and get closer and closer as well. But wanted to alert you to some of the things coming up over the next week and a half or so leading into the Breeders' Cup. Mike, appreciate it.
All right, thank you. Good luck today.
We'll wrap it up for this edition of Racing Across America. Thanks for tuning in. I'll be back in an hour and a half or so for OTB Live for a Sunday afternoon, looking at some of the action this afternoon. So we will see you then.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.